We're back. It's Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Eagles Insider with Joe DeCamera. Time now to take a look at the Miami Dolphins, and it's time to everybody get up for this game. The Cowboys is over. Let's talk about Miami. As Chip Kelly said after the game, doesn't matter if you lose this week, so let's see how focused the Eagles are on Sunday. The Miami Dolphins at a glance with a new coach, Dan Campbell, midseason. Joe, nothing really jumps out at you other than they've been waffled the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, they have. And against New England 2 weeks ago, you expect that. Most teams are going to lose big to the New England Patriots, and certainly they did. But last week for them was a tough one and a bad one because they played Buffalo. That's certainly a winnable game, and they got smoked by the Buffalo Bills. This really hurts the Dolphins within their season. Now at 3-5, obviously they're not going to win their division. They're in the same division with the New England Patriots. We all know you can rule that out. So for Miami, that's what makes this a very important game for them, Dave, coming up here against the Eagles Sunday at the Link, because the Dolphins at 3-5 currently sit two games behind the wild card spot in the AFC. Now, that team's the Jets, so you got some opportunity because I don't think the Jets maybe will be in it for the long haul. Got a bunch of teams at 4-4, so the Dolphins are still in it, but they desperately need a win. And if they lose to the Eagles, their season's really going to be in trouble.
And to get a win, they need their quarterback to play really good football, and he hasn't played really good football this year. He's been okay. Is Ryan Tannehill ever going to be the franchise quarterback that Miami envisioned when they selected him in the first round a few years ago? You see the numbers. He throws the football down the field. He's got some good receivers who break tackles. The 64% completion percentage is nice. 13-9. Really, nothing stands out about Ryan Tannehill playing behind a not very good offensive line.
Yeah, still pretty early in his career, and there's certainly room for growth and a sense that Ryan Tannehill can become a pretty strong quarterback in this league. I mean, we'll say, if I had to put my money down, I'd say middle of the road kind of career is up ahead. But, you know, he has shown glimpses and signs of promise, but he hasn't really, Dave, been able to put it together consistently. And I think in many ways that kind of defines what the Dolphins have been this year.
And Sam Bradford, of course, is trending up, as we all agree, after that win against the Dallas Cowboys. How about the running back situation? Well, the Eagles have been pounding the rock. It hasn't just been DeMarco Murray. It's been Ryan Matthews since week three of the season. The Eagles second only to St. Louis rushing the football. Joe, this running game is lethal when they get it going.
Well, I want to start with, because it's where the season started, and I think the conversation, unfortunately, has moved too far away too frequently from this. The offensive line's gotten a lot better. So for all the talk about the running game being strong and the running backs being strong, and certainly they're playing, you know, some really good football right now. DeMarco, I think, had his best game of the season by far versus the Cowboys, and Ryan Matthews, every time he's in there, delivers. But let's start with the offensive line, because that's really, you want to talk about game one versus Atlanta, game two versus Dallas, and the whole town, including me, everybody really concerned because the offensive line looks so bad, Dave. They've come a long way. And by the way, they've done it without Jason Peters now in four different games, not finishing the game, or three games he didn't finish, and last game he didn't play. So it'll be good to get Peters back whenever he's able to play. Hopefully it's this week. We shall see. But I give those guys credit. But to your point about the running backs themselves, they're really delivering. I mean, they're playing some good football right
now. Yeah, and for Miami, Lamar Miller is part of a two-headed backfield. They run the football well. They catch the football well. They use their running backs in a variety of ways, so do not sleep on Lamar Miller and company. That's a good group in the backfield. Jay Ajayi, if I've pronounced that correctly, a rookie who was activated last week from Boise State, runs hard, brings it really, really hard. So I would imagine the Eagles will have to obviously focus on a run game that hasn't been something they've been shutting down. The last couple weeks they've had trouble against Carolina and then against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, for sure. And now, of course, with Jordan Hicks out for the season, you know, that's part of the equation here. Now, it's good to have depth at that position. You got three players that have had some real success, big success in the league with D'Amico Ryans, Michael Kendricks, and Kiko Alonso. I think Kiko was a little rusty coming back playing that game Sunday night. I think it was about 29 snaps for him. So getting him going more and more will be important. Obviously, D'Amico was playing really well before his injury. I was incredibly impressed with D'Amico's growth through the season. I was really concerned in the beginning of the year. He looked so bad versus Atlanta. And the bottom line is I was really concerned about whether he was going to be able to come back from that Achilles and ever be himself. He was playing terrific football before his injury. So when you talk about the run game, Dave, and now trying to fortify it, you know, those linebackers are going to be very important.
In the pass game for the Eagles, of course, Jordan Matthews coming off his tremendous game against the Cowboys, and his numbers look great at the halfway point of the season. This week, it's kind of a battle of two players from that 2014 draft class. Jarvis Landry is outstanding, the LSU product. Catches the football. A lot of bubble screens they run. He's really good with the football in his hands after the catch. They will use him in a variety of ways, including throwing the football. And I believe this. I believe that Miami will challenge Byron Maxwell to make tackles. So they'll get the ball out of Tannehill's hands quickly, throw that screen out there, and make Maxwell, who has not wowed anybody with his tackling technique. They're going to make him tackle on Sunday.
Well, we've seen a few of them through Eagles history. Bobby Taylor, Asante Samuel, and now, obviously, Byron Maxwell, not the best tackler. It's good to have the safeties and, Malcolm Jenkins and Walter Thurman that they can't hit and they're not afraid to get in there. But you're right, Dave. I mean, Maxwell's technique has to get better on tackling. And, when we talk about Jordan Matthews, I think one sign that was very interesting from the game versus the Cowboys, two different times, including the game-winning touchdown, Chip with a play design that got Jordan Matthews deeper down the field. I mean, obviously, it's no secret the Eagles' outside receivers are struggling enormously right now. They combined for three catches in the entire game. Talking, obviously, about Josh Huff and Riley Cooper. Nelson Agholor was out, as we know, but Miles Austin, just three catches for that group. Not good. So getting Matthews a little bit deeper from time to time to try to utilize, I mean, he is the best receiver on the team, try to utilize his talent to get down the field's good. They did that in the third quarter. It was the first time all season, Dave, they ran that play and connected to Jordan Matthews this year. And as Chip talked about after the game, he said he knew that if they got across the 50-yard line in overtime, he wanted to go back to it. And he went back to a play he utilized in the third quarter for, I think it was a 29-yard gain, and, of course, big, game-winning play there in overtime.
Yeah, good catch and run from Matthews on that first one. Let's take a look at the tight ends because the Dolphins have a good one. Jordan Cameron is a pass catcher, gets down the field, athletic, and somebody that obviously Ryan Tannehill likes to go to. The Eagles will have to contend with him in coverage.
Yeah, so you're talking about Connor Barwin, Malcolm Jenkins, having to defend him. And I thought Malcolm Jenkins struggled a bit in the game versus the Cowboys. I thought it was a smart play when he basically tackled Jason Witten at the end of the game because he was trying to prevent Dallas from getting the ball deeper down the field and all that. It was just a five-yard penalty, and seconds went off the clock. They had to kick the field goal. They made it. But certainly Malcolm Jenkins can play better than he did. And
I would think Kiko Alonso, though, would be that guy. Kiko came in early against the Cowboys. His job was to work against Jason Witten in the nickel, and he just had so much rust on him that he had his 27 snaps, 29 snaps, whatever it was, and came off the field. I would imagine Kiko, from a physical standpoint, is a better matchup.
I would agree. No, look, guys, Kiko is going to be huge one way or the other, swing factor for this team's success or failure in the second half of the season. I mean, let's remember, the Philadelphia Eagles traded the all-time leading rusher in franchise history, LeSean McCoy, for Kiko Alonso. Big expectations come with that. Now, we know it wasn't just as simple as player for player. Here's you're talking about shedding a lot of contract in a salary cap league and being able to allocate that money elsewhere, as the Eagles did with, signing Byron Maxwell or acquiring Sam Bradford. So it's not as simple as this player for that player. But, let's be real. When you trade a guy as good as LeSean McCoy, there's an expectation that the player that's brought in for him is going to be a big-time player.
Now, the defenses, we take a look at the numbers, and Miami's defense was supposed to be outstanding. They went out and got the crown jewel in free agency in Domakasu. However, they lost Cameron Wake with an injury a couple of weeks ago, and that has absolutely crushed this defense. They gave up 266 rushing yards last week to the Buffalo Bills. It's not a good defense right now, Joe.
No, it's not, and that plays into the Eagles' hands in two ways. First off, because the Eagles are running the ball so successfully right now. I mean, it really has been incredible growth over the last 4 or 5 weeks with what the Eagles have done with the running game. Very, very impressive. But also Sam Bradford and the comfortability for him. And hopefully the Eagles in this game versus Miami can get the ball down the field more. Because I think when you look at the areas where the Eagles have struggled this year. In many of the areas, they've gotten better. Maxwell's been better than he was in the first couple of weeks. Bradford's been better than he was in the first couple of weeks. DeMarco's been better, and certainly the offensive line's been better. But the one area where I think, Dave, they still really do lag behind fairly dramatically is the outside receivers and getting the ball, down the field. And listen, this is modern-day NFL football where teams are constantly 25, 30, 35, 40-yard plays down the field. And it's not just about the completions, but the interference penalties you get as well, when you take those chances. So they really do have to open that up and get great.
And if you can get the run game going and everything works off the run game, the play action game goes, and then the passing game explodes. That's the idea. And hopefully Nelson Agholor on the field on Sunday. So there's your look, the first look at the Miami Dolphins ahead of Sunday's game. When we return to Eagles 360, the head coach, Chip Kelly, comes into studio and he's all fired up about the Miami Dolphins.